David versus Goliath, Giants versus Patriots, and 3-year-old Kamori versus 23-year-old me. What do all these stories have in common? They're all about overcoming the odds, emerging victorious against an opponent with superior resources, and most importantly, persistence. While my story may not be as glorious or groundbreaking as those of my illustrious counterparts, it was the first step for me to build a deep bond with my now 11-year-old godson, Kamori. When my cousin Kanisha was pregnant with him, it was almost a no-brainer that I would be the godfather. I still campaign for the position anyway because I'm what the kids like to call extra, which is kind of like being a little over the top. So ever since Kamori was born, I've been a constant presence in his life, sort of like a third parent slash cool uncle hybrid. While I take my duty as godfather very seriously, I'll draw the line of dealing with duty. So at 31 with a total of 4 godchildren, I'm proud to report that I've never changed a diaper. So as a general rule, if a kid was potty trained, I was more than willing to take them out for the day or let them stay the night. Otherwise, nah, forget it. So when Kamori was a baby, I never spent time alone with him. I would always see him when I went to visit his parents or at random family gatherings. By the time Kamori was 3, he was a fully functional little person, but we still hadn't hung out one-on-one. One summer day, his mom wrote on my Facebook wall, "Your godson needs you to make some time for him. Hint, hint." So, accepting the challenge, I realized that I was free Saturday, and just like that, my first overnight visit with my godson was set in motion. I was excited. I had grand plans of watching all my favorite 90s kid movies with my godson and just hanging out with the little dude. Saturday came around, and my cousin called to say that she was outside my apartment building. I met her at the car and reassured her that I had this covered. I grabbed my godson's booster seat with one hand and held his tiny hand with the other. I let him climb the stairs ahead of me since they were steep and his stubby little legs are struggling, which was actually kind of adorable. We finally got upstairs and we walked into the office area. Kamari's presence immediately made all the office ladies swoon. I thought, we're off to a great start. He's the perfect wingman. As soon as we stepped into my apartment, he turned on me. Roth, guess what? He said, calling me by my nickname. I looked at him and said, "What, Toot-Toot? You ugly." My jaw must have dropped the floor after he said that. Not only was I insulted, but I was mad that a 3-year-old had just outwitted me. My cousin hadn't warned me about this, and I didn't have a good comeback for his preschool-level roast. I shook it off, and we started chilling on my futon. I put Power Rangers on TV, and everything was fine and dandy for a bit. Apparently, small children like to wander and can't sit still for too long. Something I soon realized is Kamari ran around my studio apartment like he owned the place. Of course, he went straight for my collection of pop culture knickknacks proudly displayed on my TV stand. He tried to get his little hands on my mini Millennium Falcon and lightsabers and superhero figurines. "Don't touch that," I said as he tried to grab a Ninja Turtle. Then the tiresome toddler started poking around my bookcase full of original Animorphs and Goosebumps books. And I had to tell him for the 100th time, "Don't touch that, put that back." Finally, he came back to the futon. I thought I tired him out. And then he asked me, "Where's the bathroom?" I told him, "It's by the door." And he goes, "Thanks, ugly." I sat there stunned while he scurried away. A few minutes later, I heard the familiar call of "Roth." I went to the bathroom to check on him. "I'm done," he said. And I'm like, "Cool. Wipe your butt, wash your hands, and let's finish watching Power Rangers." He looked over at me, and as innocent as can be, and said, "I don't know how." I took a deep breath, and I helped the little dude out, because I just couldn't leave him there. Could I? When I told my cousin about it later, she laughed and told me that he knew how to wipe. We got cleaned up and went back to the futon. And then he hit me with about 4 or 5 more "you ugly" jokes throughout the night. Each one had a different setup, which I couldn't believe, since in my mind, this kid couldn't wipe his own butt, yet somehow he had perfect comedic timing. During our TV time, he kept getting up to touch the screen during his favorite parts of Power Rangers. And this was a time when flat screen TVs were becoming more common, but still kind of a big deal to have. And I'm like, "Dude, quit touching my TV." It didn't work. His little fingerprints were burned into that plasma screen until the day I tossed it out. Only a few hours into our first sleepover, I began wondering, were all kids this much of a handful? And also, was I ugly? because this punk sure seemed to think so. Pretty soon, it was time for dinner. Since I was 23 and single, frozen processed foods and my deep fryer were my go-tos for meals, which also was perfect for feeding a little kid. I made us some honey battered chicken tenders and fries. What could go wrong? Well, apparently, Kimori was all about the condiments and dipping sauces, and I am not. He wanted ketchup and mustard. The only thing I had was some expired ranch dressing and eggs left in my fridge, and he went to town with it. For dessert, I dished up some ice cream and used it as a bargaining chip. I told Kimori that I would only hand over his bowl if he said he was sorry for calling me ugly and stopped touching my stuff. He apologized and we hugged it out. As soon as he had his bowl of ice cream in his little hands, he looked up at me. "Raf," he said, as sweet as can be. I returned his innocent gaze and said, "What, Tutu? You ugly."
Ty Rushing shared his story at Oats Live storytelling event earlier this month. The theme was Just Keep Going, and it was supported by One Book, One Siouxland. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week,
I wanted a husband and the house, the white picket fence. I wanted what looked good on the outside, but not necessarily what was good on the inside.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. Our next show is Friday, June 1 at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is belonging. Find tickets at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. The music is by Sean Blomberg, played live at Ode last year. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
When there's nothing left to lose, I can fly right if I choose. You can buy, but you can't wear my shoes. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. So I'm heading home to lick my wounds. And share with my family the news. I put some miles on these here shoes. I've got nothing left to lose. So hop the midnight train down the coast. Well, I was still wrestling with your ghost. And I caught me a bad case of the blues. When I had nothing left to lose, spinning circles in the sand. And down came a guiding hand. To show me the way I was confused. When I had nothing left to lose, when there's nothing left to lose, you could fly right if you choose. Shame on me and shame on you. When there's nothing left to lose.